Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I hope you have a wonderful weekend planned. Always a pleasure to be with you on Fridays because we, in addition to talking about the biggest news stories, get to spend an hour talking about movies. Film Week coming up at 11 o'clock. And we've got some very promising films. Renee Zellweger starring as a late career Judy Garland. The movie Judy's adapted from a play that was a big hit here at the Amundsen Theater in L.A. Also hear about the animated Abominable and the drama The Laundromat starring Meryl Streep and Gary Oldman. But first, the impeachment inquiry and what Air Talk listeners like you think of it. Polls taken Wednesday after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's announcement that the inquiry would start showed increasing overall support for impeachment. Where the majority of Americans were opposed in the past, it's now about as split as possible, given margin of error. The increase largely fueled by Democrats. Republican support for impeachment has increased to 10%, but they're still overwhelmingly opposed, and independents are still skeptical. Half of them surveyed are opposed, especially with the slim prospects of the president being removed by the Senate. I'd like to hear why you think impeachment should or shouldn't be pursued. Now, I'm looking for analysis, not partisanship. I'm really looking at objectively what you think would be gained or lost by going through the impeachment process. We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. With us to talk through the latest developments from Bloomberg, Deputy Managing Editor for U.S. Government, Kevin Whitelaw. Kevin, good to have you with us again. First of all, what's going on with Congress as the weekend looms here? And don't they have a couple weeks of recess?
Yeah, they have a two-week recess scheduled, so most of them have left town. So the volume level may be turned slightly down over the next 2 weeks, but the work doesn't stop. Obviously, all the staff are going to be here, particularly the ones on the committees that are doing various investigations. And the Intelligence Committee, which is basically going to have the lead on this part of the investigation, mostly just because that's sort of the jurisdiction of where the whistleblower sort of came through. That committee was going to be working harder, and we do expect some of the members to be around for part of the time. So they're going to keep those investigations going. I think you're going to start seeing some document requests go out. There have already been some from a few weeks ago related to this. And we also may start to see some hearings and subpoenas go out. I think everyone has to assume that this committee is going to want to hear from Rudy Giuliani and maybe Attorney General William Barr. And then the big question is going to be, do they actually testify?
And what about the whistleblower, him or herself? Because that individual's attorney, I know, has been talking with people. Are there negotiations for the whistleblower potentially testifying?
Absolutely. They are definitely in negotiations. The lawyers for the whistleblower are definitely in negotiations with the Hill, but they also need to get essentially the sign-off of the administration. So that's the acting DNI, Joseph McGuire, who was before Congress yesterday. They say those negotiations are ongoing. Don't expect to see a public hearing, obviously. This whistleblower is still trying to preserve his or her anonymity, and that's something that the whistleblower protection laws are supposed to guarantee. Having said that, it's a little unclear how long this whistleblower is going to remain anonymous.
Well, and the other challenge is that the whistleblower, despite his or her accuracy in describing the phone call of President Trump with the Ukrainian president, that this individual didn't have firsthand knowledge, she or he reports other individuals from within the White House sharing that information with the whistleblower. So again, this sort of then pushes it a layer deeper, doesn't it, with the prospects that there could be individuals with firsthand knowledge who would be subpoenaed.
Correct. Now, obviously, we do know there were multiple people that were listening in on the phone call, maybe as many as a dozen listening in real time. And that doesn't even, then get to the questions of the other people who touched parts of this, maybe with the records of the phone call, discussions before or afterwards, and then other phone calls or conversations that there may or may not be. all of those are going to be subject to you know, are part of an investigation here. And so, yes, there's going to be a huge effort to try to sort of vacuum up who are the potential people who touched this in any way and may have something to add. Some of them will have left the White House, no longer be there. There were a number of people who were in various national security-related positions at the White House in the summer who are not there anymore. Others are still there. Hanging over all of this, though, is conversations related to the president and what he does can fall under executive privilege. So that's something the administration could cite to try to make it that much more difficult for Congress to investigate.
We're talking with Bloomberg's reporter who covers U.S. government issues, Kevin Whitelaw, with us, deputy managing editor at Bloomberg. And again, I'm asking for your analysis, sort of setting aside as a partisan issue. And I know that's difficult in the climate in which we're in. But I'd like to hear your analysis about the impeachment inquiry, even with the unlikely prospect at this point that President Trump would be removed by the U.S. Senate. Do you support the House going through with this? If not, why not? If so, what are the reasons for that? What do you see as the pros and cons of the process? And that can be on multiple levels. Political, obviously, one of them, but it can be on an ethical framework. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Before I let you go, I also wonder about how the president is framing this, talking about the individual or individuals who spoke with the whistleblower as being like spies. And do you have any sense of how Republicans are responding to the inflammatory language of the president?
Yeah, you could see a couple of Republicans getting a little uncomfortable with the way the president has handled this. And there's been a handful who have tried to sort of say they think it's inappropriate but not impeachable. For the most part, Republicans are sticking by the president. A lot of them are doing their best to not comment and to pretend that this isn't going on, that they haven't had time to read the whistleblower complaint, unlike the rest of America. So you're definitely seeing a lot of people who are ducking for cover on this. But, you know, for now, the president's support among Republicans remains, in part because, you know, for them, what is the alternative? He still retains the support of the Republican base. And so a lot of them think that they still need him to win. The alternative would be a Democrat winning.
Kevin, were you serious about saying that there have been members of Congress who claim they hadn't read the whistleblower report?
Well, I'm saying there are members of Congress who've said they haven't read
it. Really? I missed that summit. What is it, six pages or something?
Well, we had multiple senators say, oh, I haven't had time to read it. This was yesterday afternoon, after, you know, hours after it had come out. So, that's obviously, I think, mostly just trying to duck and avoid having to answer it until they've had a little more time to think about how they want to frame it. But you have had several who have said, but this is troubling. And there are a few Republicans who actually have been very strong in the past about whistleblower protections. And so it's going to be interesting to watch sort of how some of that plays out. Bloomberg News had obtained some video of those remarks that Trump made where he was, you know, speaking to this closed door audience and basically equating the whistleblower to a spy. And you know, it is interesting to watch. It was the remarks that were in a room full of U.S. diplomats, but there were also other invited guests. But, you know, sort of talking to U.S. government officials and denigrating the whistleblower process pretty severely. And that does sit uncomfortably with some people in Congress.
Now, Kevin, just to clarify, I thought it wasn't the whistleblower, but the people who had talked to the whistleblower with the firsthand knowledge that the president was making those statements about. Is that wrong?
And the other, so we had, Bloomberg was able to get a like 15-minute video. So there were more remarks, and this was sort of an extended riff on Biden and the whistleblower and other things. And yes, it was also the people that talked to the whistleblower. That's exactly right.
Okay, so it was both. All right.
Both.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate your sharing the very latest on this. Kevin Whitelaw, deputy managing editor for the U.S. government at Bloomberg. And again, we're taking your calls. analytical. I'm asking you to just set aside as much as you can partisanship on this, even your personal feelings you might have about President Trump or about Democrats in Congress or Nancy Pelosi, to try and look at this as objectively as you can, analytically, the impeachment process. Why do you support it or not support it? 866-893-KPECC. Let me share some comments. Justin in Laguna Hills says, I lean Democratic. I think impeachment is important because it shows Congress is a check. I think if you don't go through the impeachment process, it would set a bad precedent. Tolbert says, I think impeachment's a very bad idea. I think it would accomplish nothing but aggravate the current cultural and political tribalism America. We have an election next year. Tolbert wants to see that play out without the backdrop of impeachment. Pamela, joining us from the beautiful Central California coast community of Cambria. Good to have you with us. What do you think, Pamela?
Thanks. I think if it comes to an impeachment vote, the Democrats will be winning the moral battle but losing the political war.
Okay. And you're a Democrat?
I am.
So it sounds like you're torn then. Do you think they should pursue the moral battle as you see it or back away from it because of the political harm that could do to Democrats?
From a political standpoint, I think they should back away because whichever way it goes in the Senate, we're assured 5 more years of a Republican administration.
Pamela, I appreciate your call. And let me ask you before you go, Cambria or Cambria?
You can say it any way you want.
Okay. I go back and forth because I hear people that live there say it both ways, so I never know what the right way is.
We're not snobs. We don't get angry with you if you say Cambria.
Okay, thank you. Pamela, I appreciate it. 866-893-KPCC. Yeah, I guess living in a place as beautiful as that, hard to get upset about an issue of what people call it. 866-893-5722. Let's talk with Jade in Westlake Village. So, Jade, your analysis of the impeachment process, what do you think?
I think that it's very important to go through with the process strictly because it sets the precedent for what we're doing as a country for future elected officials. And by not going through the process, we're saying that certain behaviors are acceptable. So I think that our elected officials need to be held accountable, and we need to at least go through the process to find out who has done what and let everybody know that they are on notice and that they work for us.
Jade, do you so if the Senate does not remove the president from office, let's say hypothetically House impeaches, Senate doesn't. Do you feel like it still would have been it will have been a worthwhile process?
I do. And I understand that the Senate is highly unlikely to go through with impeachment on their side, but I still think that as a linear process, 1, 2, 3, 4, if we jump to number 4 without going through 1, 2, 3, we are undermining the consequences of those earlier steps. We don't know what will happen unless we go through the investigation. And as a result, I think it's very valuable to do that.
All right.
The information be presented to the public, to Americans, so that we understand and then we can make that calculation once we get to that appropriate position.
Jade, I appreciate your call. Thanks very much. These calls exactly what I was hoping we would hear. Analysis of whether you think impeachment is the right thing to do, and again, can be on multiple levels, politically, morally, governmentally, trying to set aside partisanship, but look at this as objectively and analytically as possible. Is it the right move in your from your perspective or not? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page. Now, Gary in downtown Los Angeles, I think you see it a little differently than our last caller. What's your perspective?
I do. I'm opposed to impeachment. I think that the Senate is certain to acquit Trump, and that's going to set a precedent that future presidents can solicit support from foreign governments. I think that's very detrimental to the country and to our politics, puts the presidency for sale up to the world, and I don't think we should be going down this path.
Okay. Gary, what about the argument that some Democrats make that, yes, today the Senate is, based on what we've seen, they're not going to remove President Trump, but that additional things could come out during the impeachment process which might make some of the Republican senators change their mind? Do you think the odds of that are so slim it's not worth going forward?
I think the odds are quite slim. We've already had a very thorough investigation of the president. We know what he has done in other matters. I don't believe that there is anything further. It's clear that this present Senate will not convict him.
All right.
Any of those matters.
Gary, I appreciate it. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Hold on. We're going to take more of your calls as we continue here on 89.3 KPCC. 866-893-5722 or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Back in 1 minute. We're hearing from Air Talk listeners, impeachment, whether they support it or not, and what are the reasons for it. We've heard some terrific analytical calls thus far, and listeners not agreeing on the issue. Let's talk with Andrew in South Los Angeles. Andrew, what do you think?
Well, the impeachment process is paramount, and the Democrats have to trigger it in the House. Now, I've heard some of the callers, have concerns about the political jeopardy for some of the Democrats that are in vulnerable districts. But the thing is this, not only are Democrats obligated just because of what's going on with the pattern of this president's behavior with regard to Russia, with regard to Ukraine, and possible interference in the next election, it's also imperative that we remember that once the Senate has to move forward with their section or segment of impeachment, that it's overseen by the Chief Justice. Now, we may have political affiliations in Congress and in the Senate, but one of the things to really keep in mind is that Chief Roberts is, an astute scholar. A lot of people have considered him a fundamentalist, on the court. And I think that he would be a great arbiter of the facts for the American people. I think that, if Democrats make it to that portion of the impeachment proceedings, it will be a great display, not only to the American people, but you would also have one of the chief justices overseeing and, arbitrating one of the biggest issues in history.
Andrew, I appreciate it very much. Thanks. Yeah, it's something we actually haven't talked about, is what the process would be should the articles of impeachment be presented, should the vote go in favor of impeachment in the House. Once the president is impeached, goes to the Senate, and as you said, the Chief Justice presides over that trial in which the House is the prosecutor of the president, and then the Senate determines whether the president is removed from office. Let's talk next with Mike in Santa Clarita. Mike, what do you think?
I think if we don't impeach president for what Donald Trump has been accused of, who would you ever impeach going forth into the future? I mean, the Republican Party that I remember back in the 90s impeached President Bill Clinton. The party of family values impeached President Clinton for the Lewinsky scandal. And under those charges, he was impeached for obstruction of justice and lying under oath. Well, just in the Mueller report, we know of at least 10 counts of obstruction of justice. Again.
But, Mike, that's not everyone agrees with that. Everyone agreed that President Clinton lied. Not everybody agreed. In fact, the majority of Americans did not favor impeachment of President Clinton. But the actual offense, there was not a gray area there. In this case, the country interprets the Mueller report differently. The country interprets the transcript of the phone conversation differently. So there are differences in the Clinton impeachment than in the Trump impeachment. And the question is, does the Trump impeachment, given that the country doesn't agree on what it sees in those documents, does it do more good than harm or not?
I think it would do more good than harm, because it's simply by beginning the impeachment inquiry, we're opening up the conversation. We're bringing to light all of the evidence. And I think a big problem with the Mueller report was that, you know, you have all these other news channels and critics who go on TV and the radio, and they just spin, they distort the facts, they lie. And so the public who didn't read the, you know, the hundreds of pages of the Mueller report, they don't know what to believe. But here I think we actually have solid evidence, and we're seeing Republicans, you know, nervous about this. I think this is really something that if it even did go to the Senate, there is a chance you could get that 2-3 vote.
All right.
Republicans.
Mike, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for being with us. These are just the calls I was hoping for. I'm so happy. AirTalk listeners really laying out their reasoning for how they come to their opinion about impeachment. Let's see. Mary in Palm Springs, you're on AirTalk. What do you think?
I think this is my third go-round with presidential impeachment. Nixon, Clinton, now we have Trump. Our nation was founded on the principle that there are three branches of government, and each one counterbalances the other. It was easy to be judgmental about President Nixon because there were all the president's men and the evidence. But now we have Russia, a foreign entity, interfering in our election. It was easy to say, oh, Clinton, he took advantage of a young woman. Is it any more obvious that President Trump has paid off multiple women?
Okay, so Mary, let's be a little more actually on the impeachment itself. So the process, what you see the benefit that there's new information or the people may pay more attention. What do you see as the benefit of the process?
Without impeachment, there is no use to have a tri-level entity ruling our nation. We just have a smorgasbord. We are three levels. We are the Congress, we are the Supreme Court, and we are the executive branch. Each one has to keep each other in tow for the democracy to work. Our citizenry must be educated in order to know what to do. Without the truth out on the table, without knowing either he's guilty or he's not guilty, these are the facts, we are just speaking to the wind.
All right, Mary, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Mary in Palm Springs, seeing this as an issue of good government and balancing of powers, that this is the responsibility of the House to do this. 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, KPCC. Let's talk next with Joe in Long Beach. So, Joe, what do you think are the reasons for and against impeachment as you see it?
Well, this is very easy to understand. Congress appropriated money to one of our allies. This president decided to hold that money back until he could shake them down for political advantage. Those two things right there are illegal on their face.
But again, it's not on the face to everybody. People disagree, and you hear the coverage of it. People who don't see it as a quid pro quo, don't see it as necessarily being something that violated the law, what the president did. Although there have been a number of Republicans who've been clear they think it was ethically dubious what he did in that phone call. So this is a divisive issue, Joe. So do you think that it will convince more people to interpret it as you're interpreting it?
Well, I think once more evidence comes out, but look, we have a transcript of the president speaking, and he has been characterized as sounding no different than a mafia boss, where they don't have to tell you go out and commit this crime specifically, but they will speak in a way that's easily understood what the intention is.
Do you think, Joe, that this could end up hurting Democratic candidates if it goes through, the House impeaches, the Senate after a trial doesn't remove the president? Do you think there are political repercussions from that?
Well, Larry, we can't be worried about political repercussions. we have to do the right thing. I know that the Senate will not convict the president, but nonetheless, everybody has to be on the record with their vote, so that we know that if you decide that you want to stick with the president in the face of facts, then we know that you are not really about defending the national security of our country.
All right, Joe. Again, I want to try and not get into partisan stuff, analytical as much as possible, 866-893-KPCC. But Joe's point that, you know, politics be damned, that really, that there is a higher good here, and if there's political damage, so be it. 866-893, although it sounds like he thinks there would be political advantage to Democrats in this, that Republicans not supporting removal would be to their political detriment. Let's see. Let's talk next with Richard in Palm Springs. Richard, what are the reasons why you think impeachment should or should not be carried out?
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for letting me participate. I believe that the impeachment process should be carried out regardless of what evidence comes forth. I believe that with the Nixon possibility of the impeachment back in the 60s, early 70s, set the bar really high that you had a president of the United States who was willing to cheat in his own reelection. And the bar was set so low for impeachment in Clinton's impeachment trial for a misdemeanor. And so what we have here with Trump is he has broken the mold. He has actually sought, and he actually confessed in public, that he sought a foreign power to investigate or to look up for political dirt into a U.S. citizen for his political gain and his reelection.
Again, different people look at that at different ways. And the question is going to be, if the country remains split on that interpretation of what's in the transcript of the phone call, you still feel like it's the right thing to do to go forward with impeachment?
I certainly do.
Okay.
Because what has happened is that a United States president twice has been looked at or has had allegations made against him of a foreign power intervening in his election twice already in his presidency.
Yeah. Okay. And according to the Mueller report, there was not collusion between the Trump campaign and foreign entities. The obstruction of justice allegation, separate issue. But Richard, I appreciate it very much. In Richard Nixon's case, of course, it was as the tapes were going to have to be released by Nixon, and the efforts to cover up the break-in at the Watergate was going to be out there for everyone to see. The president realized he had no choice. He was going to be removed from office if he didn't step down himself. Let's see. Ben in Silver Lake says people are saying, why should there be an impeachment proceeding with the nation able to make a decision on it next year? But Ben sees it that the president is trying to benefit himself in his actions in an unethical way, potentially illegal way. And therefore, he thinks that it's not a matter of a pure election coming up next year that impeachment should proceed. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org, whether you think impeachment is ethically the right thing to do, politically the right thing to do, or not. I appreciate your terrific analysis and the varying perspectives that we've heard so far this morning on Air Talk on 89.3. Coming up, we're going to talk with Stephen Kinzer, his new book, Poisoner in Chief, Sidney Gottlieb in the CIA Search for Mind Control. It takes us back to the 1950s through the early 1960s CIA. But first, time for this live update from Hedy Lynn Hurtis.